This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Friday edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer is on the road again. Should we say an undisclosed place in Pennsylvania, or can we disclose the location for the media out there?
Yeah, we're southeast of Pittsburgh. It's a resort in Bedford Springs, an old renovated mansion with just an illustrious golf course, a great spa. We are thrilled to it was Michelle's birthday yesterday, so we're taking a nice big long weekend. Get to celebrate her, and then her middle sister and brother-in-law are going to come and play a little golf, a little twilight action today, get 18 in tomorrow. Yeah, and hopefully don't have to worry about checking the phone for all the trade alerts here for the MLB trade deadline or any other stuff that's happening on the NFL side. God, we've had a hell of a couple of days here to get training camp started, and obviously what's happening in Major League Baseball as well.
Happy belated to Michelle. Glad you guys are out there celebrating, and I'm excited to see that golf course when you send us pictures later on, Jensen. That's going to be a lot of fun as well. Thomas Gable is going to join the program as he does each and every Friday right there from Atlantic City at the Borgata. So catch up with TG later on this hour. CJ Nikowski coming back to the program. You mentioned this with the trade deadline looming here in Major League Baseball. What moves does he expect to make, and maybe even for the Braves here, what they might need going forward a little bit. And Lou Finicaro, always love having Lou's contributions on a Friday. We're going to Belgrade to Serbia. I'm getting up early. Lou will get up early as well. We're going to handicap some of these cards for you and this fight card overseas before you wake up early and place those UFC wagers this weekend as well. But we've talked about this story. I didn't know there would be so much Buccaneer talk this week, but we have had a lot on a lot of different fronts. And that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
You know, we mentioned this a couple days ago right here on VSiN by the Books, that we had mentioned that Baker Mayfield felt disrespected by his contract. And then he kind of went further. We're going to hear from Bake later on in the program as well. And he kind of vocalized it to the media, and then that becomes the fan base and for the whole world to hear, really, whoever wants to listen, and kind of went on those comments a little bit, that he felt disrespected. He felt undervalued. He went on to say, Jensen, that he feels like he's a franchise quarterback. Like, there are a lot of things that Baker got off his chest, I guess, and says now, Jensen, again, to reiterate, I'm not negotiating a deal now. I'm going to play in the existing deal. And he didn't say then I'm gone, but he's basically saying, and then I will be a free agent and we'll see what happens. What do you make of Baker? I don't want to say airing the dirty laundry, but definitely clearing whatever's on his mind.
Oh, and also think about this too, following up with, I'm going to make him pay, in so many words. Yeah. And I think that is outstanding. We know that he has had this kind of chip on his shoulder ever since the days in Cleveland, you know, where it didn't work out the way that he hoped. I'm sure the team liked it a little bit more than what it was. I think what's unique, and we talked about it earlier in the week, that when you get this kind of motivation on top of what's happened with the Vita Vea issues, and then knowing that this is still a team in a pretty wide open NFC South, you're going to have guys that really rally around people. And if you've watched any of the Netflix documentary on quarterback, these guys love their quarterback. And I think that's going to be one of the unifying parts, is that you disrespect our guy. Not that you're pitting players against the franchise and the front office, sure, or ownership, anything like that. But that's definitely going to be a theme. And as I told you, this is going to be a million spot for us. We learned our lesson last year. We're not fading Bacon the boys early in the season, that's for sure.
I'll say this. I had my questions about Bake going back to his Oklahoma days and planting flags and all this stuff. And then he becomes the number one pick in the draft. And maybe it didn't exactly work out in Cleveland. And then he got bounced around, looked like he was out of the league. It's been an interesting arc for Baker Mayfield. So I can understand why maybe he feels like he's always had that chip on his shoulder at a bunch of different places in college, and certainly a bunch of different places now in the NFL. Chris Olave is not going to a bunch of different places. He's staying right there in New Orleans. And remember, we talked about this, and yesterday kind of limited out there. Well, what's going on? Is he injured? Well, maybe he was just waiting for the ink to dry a little bit on this new deal. It's a four-year extension that he's getting, and that is up to $132 million. Jets, I like the player. I'm concerned about the injuries. The Saints are not. What do you see and hear when you hear of an extension with that type of price tag associated with it?
Well, again, you know, you're looking for leadership, right? And this is a guy that has been so crucial here the last handful of years to the production offensively. And, you know, if you kind of look through also some of the contracts and where those big time receivers are getting their money, you know, he's going to be, again, in a Kellen Moore system, as you've seen plenty in Dallas, so important to what they do and how Tyler Shuck in year two is going to want to operate. You want that security blanket. And he's been that, right? I mean, think about all the injuries that wide receiver room has gone through. And I know he's had his own issues too, but now you kind of look and see where he is. Only Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Jamar Chase, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba are higher paid as far as total value of a contract. That gives you an idea where the Saints believe Chris Olave's value is and what he means not only to the franchise, but in the echelon of great wide receivers in our league right now.
90 milli is guaranteed of that. And he did have a really good year last year, even with those injuries that we alluded to, over 1,160 yards, 100 receptions, second team all pro. So you keep him healthy and you might have something there. By the way, Deebo Samuel is going back to San Francisco. And on the surface, you go, oh, great. Didn't work out in the 1 year in DC. This would be great to get him home. But I think the bigger question mark, Jensen, we talk about these injuries, is that maybe Ricky Pearsall, that knee in San Francisco, is a little bit more concerning, and that's why they're bringing Deebo back to the fold.
It's amazing to kind of look through and see where the attrition already is just for the Niners, right? And I'll be fair, like I have them as a wild card team this year, and I did not expect to have to look through, you know, all these injuries and all these issues in the first 2 days. Like that's something you see potentially in like week three, week four, when it just hasn't started really well for your club. This stinks, man. Like you want everyone to kind of feel great about getting the band back together and really being excited about the upcoming year. I mean, it is falling out of the starting blocks and they're not even going to be fully healthy. Even it looks like for week one and maybe for quite some time early this season.
Yeah, their head coach isn't even healthy. So it's just been bizarre offseason right now for San Francisco. So players, coaches, everything, let's hope everybody stays intact there in San Francisco. Kind of great news if you're a Cincinnati Bengal fan today, and this is why I'm not a doctor, because if you watched the Shamar Stewart injury yesterday, you went, well, that guy's gone for the year. And it looks like he's avoided a major knee injury, even though it looks gruesome when you watch it on tape. And we'll figure out when he can come back. But that's really good news that they do expect him back for this season. Now, not as good news here for the Panthers and wide receiver Chris Brazel. He's going to be out for the entirety of the season. This is a third-round pick for them in Carolina. They've had a lot of injuries right off the jump here in Carolina. Again, talking a lot about these NFC South teams. But I guess good news in Cincinnati and kind of the bad news they were expecting, sadly, in Carolina.
Yeah, unfortunate, right, in Carolina there, because you thought Chris Brazel on one side, Teteroa McMillan, such a standout season last year as the rookie out of Arizona on the other side, and that gives Bryce Young a real opportunity to cover both sides of the field. The Shamar Stewart, you and I talked about it yesterday. It looked horrible. Oh, man. This one looked like a season ender, and just, oh, man, the beat goes on for this Bengal defense the last couple of years, losing key pieces so early. But, man, that is great news for them because he is such a difference. No Trey Hendrickson now, so you kind of pivoted and are looking at him as one of those integral parts of how that defense can be really dominant this year.
Jensen, you know me. I'm not a quitter. I don't have a whole lot of quit in me. I will fight as long as I can fight. When I watch the Royals play baseball, especially late in games, I go, oh, like we're going to get a nice victory. It's 3-0 yesterday, and then a walk-off grand slam by the Twins to take 2 out of 3. They had 2 comebacks in the 9th inning in the series alone. Shohei Ohtani didn't play yesterday as a precautionary measure with his knee. There are some minor trades being moved. AJ Minter has been moved on from my Metropolitans to the aforementioned Twins. I guess good news for the Twins. They could have got swept in the series so easily, Jensen. And then you go get a guy like Minter, a left-hander in your bullpen. It feels like Minnesota might be gearing up a little bit here for the second half run.
What a birthday present for Derek Shelton yesterday, his birthday yesterday. That's an 0-2, two out, left on left grand slam. And I mean, you can't make it up, right? Just considering where the Royals have had so much bad luck in their bullpen this year. It continues yesterday. And, you know, the Twins had already said, even with the Buxton injury, even before that, not going to trade Joe Ryan. We're not trading Buxton. We're going to try and go for it. They sorely needed bullpen help. I told you I thought Minter would go. I wouldn't be surprised if Brooks Raley is going to be on his way out too. We'll wait and see where Luke Weaver's destination will be. But, hey, those are the kind of wins that you circle and look back and say, if we make the playoffs, it's because we get one of those. It should have been a loss, but, man, what a dramatic win for the Twins yesterday.
Yeah, it really was. And a nice acquisition. Those are the small ones that don't get the big headlines that can really help you out. This is a big headline in the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit. Peter Malnati in his bucket hat, 9 under par. Jensen, I mean, he was, you know, what was so great about his post-run interview is they asked him, you know, were you thinking about, you know, the 59? He said, yeah, of course I was. Like, you know, a lot of guys say, oh, I'm just going to take a shot at Tom. No. He was absolutely thinking about it. Had to settle. For that 9 under par after round one. But I think a lot of our guys, Jensen, positioned pretty well. I'd like to see Wyndham Clark play a little bit better. One over was the one guy I was disappointed with yesterday.
Yes, it looks like a lot of scoring out there. And I'll pick your brain upcoming here in just a bit about kind of conditions yesterday, what you like. But it's out there just like it was last week. So let's see what these boys can do in round two.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that, too, because I thought it might be tougher conditions. But you're right. The numbers were out there to be made. And, boy, did Peter Malnati make that with his 9 under par round on a par 70 course. We're going to hear from Bake. How disrespected should athletes be when contract offers come? We'll discuss next right here at VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Our long national nightmare is almost over, Jensen Lewis. Dave Ross here with you on VSiN by the Books. We know we've got football returning to our lives starting next week. I know it's the Hall of Fame game. Can't know Ohio. So I don't know how excited some of us are going to get. Some might be more excited than others. And I'm sure here in the network, we'll find betting angles for you on that game as well. But if you're looking at the NFC South and you're trying to forecast this division and bet on this one, by the way, you should be a VSiN Pro subscriber right now. You can have access to all breakdowns of all the teams in the NFL, including projections as to who's going to win this division. And I think it's a really tough division to pick. And now on that, we talked about Vita Vea. He wants out of Tampa Bay. And then Baker Mayfield, very, I'd say, boisterous in his disapproval of the contract offer that he was given by the Bucs before training camp began. And he took to the podium yesterday, Jensen, and really spoke his mind there at the facilities here for the Buccaneers and had this to say about that contract disrespect.
I've told you guys I've been pretty upfront and honest about my feelings about Tampa. It being home for now, our family, we're raising kids here. We love it here. I wanted the deal done and set the deadline and told them it was going to be all ball after that. And I did mean that. And I don't know if they thought I was just going to take some of the offers that they gave. Disappointing in that regard to not have, you know, to feel disrespected a little bit. And that's really the disappointing part, to feel undervalued after, you know, thinking you've earned it. This is not a poor me thing. There's a lot of other people that have it way worse off, but I can sit here and look at other quarterbacks and peers and evaluate myself based on that and put myself in certain categories that I deserve to be compensated for that. And I think I'm a franchise quarterback. I've been told I'm a franchise quarterback. It's been said publicly from ownership down here.
That's always interesting to me because, you know, you see the microphone. The microphone's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers microphone. You're at their facility. You're at training camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and you're talking about them. You're still talking about those guys, that management that you said they said that you were a franchise quarterback. So you feel that disrespect, as Baker said, in the offer. And now he says that he's serious, Jensen. Like, hey, you come to me with an offer now. It's too late. I imposed a deadline, whether the team wanted to adhere to it or not. In my mind, I set that as an athlete. And I'm sure you've had to do this, and we have agents, and we have agents in this walk of life too, that you let them do that talking for you. It sounds to me like either Baker told the agent or Baker told the team, hey, this is the way it's going to be, and I am not budging from my positions. Once I start training camp, with or without that contract, that's the way we're going to go for the entire season.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think he's justified in what he's done. He has given, you know, not only the performances and put this team in a position to be a contender during his tenure. But I wanted to bring up the numbers because I am intrigued your thoughts, Dave. Like if we're, I hear what he says about being a franchise quarterback and what he's done. So I'm just going to give you some of the lower end numbers of extensions that were signed here in the last half decade. So let me take looking at just younger guys, and then we'll build our way up here. So Jordan Love, all right, signs at age 25. This was back in 2024. That's a $220 million deal. All right, that's an average of $55 million a year. We know the Deshaun Watson one, okay? That may be an outlier, but just food for thought. He signed that at age 26 back in 2022. That was for $230 million, as we know, fully guaranteed. Then you kind of move up a little bit more. Lamar Jackson at 26, okay, signed his in 2023 for $260 million. That's 52 on an average annual value. Is he in the Brock Purdy echelon? You know, when Brock Purdy signed his in 2025 last year at age 25 for $265 million, is he in the Joe Burrow echelon? Age 26 when Joe Burrow signed it in 23 for $275 million. So that's why I'll throw it back to you. If you are Tampa ownership, what is that number? Like, those are the names just kind of looking below. Like, he's not to Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. I'll even throw Trevor Lawrence in there. Age 24 in 2024, signed for $275 million, okay? Is he a $55 million a year quarterback in your eyes, Dave? Is that what you would pay Baker Mayfield, knowing what he's done, knowing what the injury issues have been, and then kind of forecasting out now about where he might be? Because I think that's a fascinating look at where, you know, teams not only look to value quarterbacks, but hey, he's 20, what? He's going to be 30, you know, this year. So what total value could you think of in that echelon of what you would pay a guy, not only lump sum, but average annual value if he wants to be paid like a franchise quarterback?
Well, you just hit on the key point, and the key point has nothing to do with the money. It has to do with all those guys that you mentioned. It begins with a two when it comes to their age. Most of those guys are in their mid-20s or getting to their later 20s. Unfortunately, the reality for Baker Mayfield is when he was kind of going through his NFL sojourn through the desert of the NFL and trying to find his way, that's when he was in his late 20s. And that's when he should have been capitalizing at that time, like those guys that you mentioned, Jensen, have capitalized on their earnings potential in the primes or approaching the primes of their career. Now that Baker is hitting the prime of his career a little bit later, and he is 31, that teams are going to start to project now and go, do I want to give him a five-year deal? So they love to give him the three-year deal, right? And you know he's going to be looking for four or five. So the problem is with Baker betting on himself this year, Jensen, he can go out there this year and be a Pro Bowler, lead this team to the playoffs, and be sitting there and going, hey, I've earned it. Guess what? He's going to be 32 in the next offseason in April. And the same questions will persist no matter how good he is this year, is that you can't turn back the hands of time. And so I think he's I don't know if he's going to get offered a contract in the season and see if he'll buck his position, but I almost think it might behoove him to do so if that opportunity affords itself. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking the team's side at all. because I'm with you. I would pay Baker in that echelon of quarterback. But the problem is most of those guys you talked about are mid-20s. And the problem for Baker is he's going to be 32 next year when he's a free agent going into next year's offseason. And teams look at it in that light instead of the light of what he's actually earned. I'm with Baker. He's earned the money that he's talking about. The problem is he's 8 years older or 7 years older than a lot of the guys that he's talking about that have those contracts. And that you can't change. So I just wonder, what is the market really going to be there? What's it going to be? He's going to have a market. It's going to be, is it going to be the market he wants, or is it going to be the market that he's willing to accept? And I think that's going to be the big problem in the next year. And I don't see him going back to Tampa Bay unless they're not going to make him some revolutionary offer that they're going to be willing to give him next year when he's older than they're willing to give him now. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's part of our handicap, too, is looking at the early portion of the schedule where there is all this pent up energy. There is this motivation.
Yeah.
And how are you able to monetize that motivation? You and I have talked a lot. So they're going to open up against Cincinnati in the jungle. And boy, isn't that ironic that the guy that he's trying to get that kind of contract money is going to be opposite him and Joe Burrow. And everyone will talk about, hey, Joey B this, Joey B that when healthy. And Baker's probably like, hey, look at me. All right. I've been playing a lot longer and many more games than he has. So you've got the tour through the AFC North here with Cincinnati and Cleveland. And that home portion of the schedule is critical, man. If you can get to a 3-1 start and just kind of knowing that you get your momentum going on that side before the big Thursday night game against Dallas, you are now Baker Mayfield in the driver's seat and you're able to kind of impose your will, not only from the team aspect, but now you can keep looking up at that owner's box and seeing and saying, hey, what I tell you, I'm worth every penny, man. And the more they win, the higher the price tag is going to go.
We've seen it, right? I mean, go back infamously in D.C. You like that? You like that? Kirk Cousins, right? They kept franchise tagging him year after year. They didn't want to pay him the big deal. And then when he got that big deal in Minnesota, he left. Because I believe in hindsight, I think it was a 7-year deal. But again, Kirk was still younger at that time. Like, I just don't know that there's any market out there that says next offseason at 32 years old that he's going to get a 6-year deal with a new team. Like, I don't know that any team is willing to do that. He's not aging out. That's not the point. It's the prime years of the 26 to 32. If he could just go back 5 years, he would be exactly right in saying, look at what I've accomplished and everything I've done. Now I've earned this long-term deal. I think he should get paid in the echelon that you've talked about, Jensen. I just don't know that market's actually going to exist for him, no matter how well he plays. And by the way, I think he will play well this year because he is healthy. And every time you've seen Baker Mayfield healthy, he puts up big numbers. The problem with Baker is he gets hurt and he tries to play through the pain, whether it's a shoulder or otherwise, and he doesn't look like the same guy. So if he's healthy this year, he'll put up big numbers that should get that money in the open market. I just don't know how much it exists because clearly Tampa Bay is not willing to give him the deal that he wants right now. That is going to be an interesting situation to monitor all year long. Let's talk about what we saw in the major leagues yesterday. Should we be concerned about Shohei Ohtani, who did not play? They say it's precautionary there. And I wonder when we start to look at MVP and other markets, how precautionary is that for Shohei Ohtani? We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
Today is the day. It's the last day that you can lock in our early bird pricing on our football special. It's a great deal. $175 through the Super Bowl before it goes to $199 tomorrow. So, Jensen, we're telling everybody right now you're saving money today with this early bird special, but it will go away tomorrow. Preseason football right around the corner starting on Thursday. Instant access to our NFL betting guide, futures, win totals, divisional races, and player props. On Monday, you're going to get access to our college football betting guide. That previews all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from all of our experts. You're going to get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings, plus full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl in February, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in for the season. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. So again, pricing's going up tomorrow, so get on it today. People, I procrastinate too, so do it today, and you're going to save some money. It's a great value deal through February and the Super Bowl of next year. Jensen, some wild, wild walk-offs that we saw in Major League Baseball yesterday. The White Sox do it again to the Yankees. The Reds do it to the Pirates and the Twins. Oh, my goodness. A walk-off salami, as you alluded to, on an 0-2 count to beat the Royals yesterday. I do think the bigger news outside of the results was Shohei Ohtani, and I wanted to start there with you. A sore knee, Dodgers say it's just precautionary. You have made, I think, a very bold proclamation, but one that bears repeating, that if he doesn't pitch anymore this year, you're not quite sure that he can win that MVP. Now, coupled with the not even playing in the lineup, Jensen, how concerning should it be for MVP bettors out there in this market? And two, really, the Dodgers overall going forward.
Yeah, they of course they take care of business last night against the Mariner team. That, and you talk about any offense, they cannot score to save their life day in and day out, which is very troubling for me considering the futures that I have had and how much I have walked the plank for them with what's happened. But it is something to keep in mind. And we talked with Taylor McGregor yesterday. You know, just the overview of what Pete Crow Armstrong has put together in his campaign. And you look again at what the Cubs did yesterday, another extra inning game, but they end up winning it this time in relation to where Ohtani and the MVP race is. I had said this to you, and my thought is unchanged, is LA is still the eyes on the prize is October. And they have no worries about winning the National League West. They're going to coast to the division title. So they do have time on their side. I had wondered aloud with you, what is a quote unquote load management look like in Major League Baseball for Shohei Ohtani? I think we're going to end up seeing it, Dave, because you can only go on inflammation so long. You can only play through that pain day in and day out for so long. And thank goodness that Shohei Ohtani is a designated hitter, but still got to run the bases. You're trying to get that power. And especially knowing that it is his drive leg on the back and it's his land leg for pitching. We obviously know why that he'd be indefinitely off the mound because, you know, if you've ever had knee inflammation, if you've ever had knee pain, you know, try coming down pretty decently hard on it. And you obviously will have that kind of jolt right through you. So I don't know what Doc Roberts does from a week in, week out basis moving forward, but there is a level of recovery and rest that's going to have to be factored in here. He's not winning the Cy Young. We know that he's in jeopardy now of winning the MVP, but that is the last thing the Dodgers are thinking about. They have to have him, at least from a hitting perspective, they've got to have him right come October. So I think you're going to see a little bit more of it as we move through the next couple of weeks and they try and kind of, you know, balance not only getting him in the lineup, but also getting him the recovery he needs as well.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to look at it. And if you're picking up what Jensen's putting down there, PCA is not taking time off, not with the Cubs in a stretch drive and trying to lock up at least a wild card. If not, maybe it's not plausible to run down the Brewers, but you know he's going to be playing every day. He's even money to win the MVP. Shohei is still odds on at -$1.30. There's only one way I could bet that market. I'm not betting the market because I don't. We've talked about this ad nauseum. I don't like to get into those kind of narrative-driven awards, but if you made me wager it, Jensen, I could only bet PCA at even money right now if it is, in fact, a two-headed monster. James Wood is the third betting choice at 28-1. Kyle Schwarber at 50-1, is there, you know, if they had a massive boom, they run down Atlanta. Again, narrative street here, people, right? They do all these things down the stretch they come, and it's Kyle Schwarber back-to-back 50 home run seasons. Could he make inroads in that market, or do you really think it is just the two top dogs at this stage?
I think it's the three guys. It is going to be Shohei, it's PCA, and it's James Wood. I mean, honorable mention, CJ Abrams, as long as he remains with the Nationals, or if he is traded, he's in a National League team. This feels like we are in a position where the Phillies, it would take, I mean, almost Schwarber having to get to at least 50 home runs to even be in the conversation. But I don't even think it's worth wasting your money there. If Schwarber were to go off like that, then Dave, the correlated play would be the Phillies to win the East. I would have to think that that is the way that it goes there. So I wouldn't entertain it from the MVP side. I would look, though, if you wanted to get a little weird and try to catch lightning in a bottle, the Nationals guys, Wood and Abrams, are the only other two just from a wins above replacement perspective. You know, remember factoring in the defensive part here that PCA has, you're going to have to try and run down, as I told you yesterday, a generational defender. So I think this is really predicated on a two-man race. Maybe if the Nationals were just absolutely scorching hot heading into September, you could see James Wood or CJ Abrams or even both of them see those odds shorten a bit, but I think it's a two-man race.
Right now, Philadelphia to win the East is plus 475. And again, I'll mention it again. I know people in D.C. know this and know it in San Diego too. Wood and Abrams came over in the Juan Soto deal. And both those guys are longer shots to win MVP. But we're talking about Abrams and we're talking about Wood and MVP and Soto. I don't know if we're going to see him again for the rest of the year. Speaking of former Mets, and again, Soto's still going to be a Met going forward. A.J. Minter is not. He's now a member of the Twins. And I was just talking about it with our esteemed producer in the break, Joe Friezo. Like, I wonder how many Mets in the dominoes are going to fall. And earlier in the week, we had the Duke on the program right here, and he was talking about Jim Duquette, that it could be five or six Mets that get moved here, Jensen. Is just this just the start now for the Mets really dismantling the Titanic?
I think that it's already dismantled. That ship has sunk. It's just a matter of who the survivors are. And we know it's going to be a lot of the young players and of course, the building blocks that David Stearns wants to have moving forward. Make no mistake. I mean, they're going to go out in free agency this offseason if we have a CBA, you know, moving forward and do what they have to do on that front. I would say that on the pitching side, and I know Freddie Peralta is getting the ball today. This is probably his last start as far as, you know, an audition for a team that could acquire him. I think Luke Weaver and Brooks Raley, I mean, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and where that those guys go. They're too good and we'll definitely garner the Mets a very nice return for both those guys.
And a guy like Luis Robert, we keep hearing, you know, for cheaper right-handed power, I would have to think a guy like that would be on the move as well, right, Jensen?
I think so. You know, I'm probably not going to get you crazy, you know, prospects or anything, but certainly we'll get you something ancillary. And because there is not a lot of right-handed power outfield bats, it has obviously been a very tough year for him, period. But yeah, someone will take a shot on him, if nothing more than maybe a bat off the bench, which is kind of what he's doing for the Mets right now.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm looking at a lot of these moves, and some of them will be painful if you're a Metropolitan backer, because I did like certainly what Weaver was doing in the back end of that bullpen. He was sensational. Minter was a really good lefty piece. He's already gone. I thought Robert was a cheap way to take a look. It cost them Luis Angel Acuna, who's over there with the White Sox, that deal. So I'm looking at some of these deals that have happened. And like the Jet Williams and Brandon Sproat move to go get Freddie Peralta, there's just no other way to shake it out for David Stearns as the GM. Mm-hmm. He's lost on a lot of these moves. Maybe not lost big. Like, I don't look at the Acuna Jr. Swap for Robert and the money he had to pay. I thought that was an educated risk to take. But let's just say with the Peralta move, Jensen, I don't know how you justify that to your boss and say, well, we're going to flip this now for Peralta. You're not going to get anywhere close to the haul you had to give up to get him in the first place.
Yeah, and part of that too is because he just hasn't pitched to, you know, the pedigree of what they thought they were acquiring there from Milwaukee. So if this had gone a little bit differently, Dave, where we had, you know, maybe a 7-start streak, even 8 in a row, like it's a month and a half, 2 months sustained work here of, hey, we're not going to the playoffs, but man, you're pitching well. It would have been a far different return that they would get at this deadline.
Here's what I know is going to happen. Freddie Peralta is going to get dealt. He's going to go to a contender. He's going to pitch lights out. And you and I will get a group text from Will Hill. And he'll say, wow, I wish the Mets could get somebody like that. That it's going to happen because that's what happens all the time. Okay, when we come back, we're going to go to the Borgata, see what's on the brain of Thomas Gable, what they're sweating up there. And I wonder if they're taking 76ers money at the Borgata already in the futures market. We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you every Friday. We look forward to our conversations with Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. Give him a follow on X at TGableSports. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And Thomas, you're there. It's beautiful, apparently, in Atlantic City right now. You're almost getting San Diego weather on the East Coast. You guys are kind of like the reverse LeBron. You're going to be going out to Vegas. You're going out west for Bet Bash. And LeBron has now come east from L.A. to Philadelphia. What did those numbers look like for you guys? A week ago it happened here on this Friday. How much have they changed? And are you seeing people getting to the window there at the Borgata to bet LeBron and the Philadelphia 76ers?
Yeah, the news came out, I guess, after certainly after I did my segment with you guys last week, last Friday, probably after your show was over, and the announcement came out. And, you know, prior to that, I mean, the Sixers were being mentioned. They were certainly not one of the favorites to land him. But obviously it came together. And, you know, I will say this for LeBron's team, and this has been really throughout his career, his team around him is always very tight-lipped about these things. They, news doesn't really leak out of his camp. And that was certainly the case here as well. So, you know, we were at 17-1 on the Sixers to win the title prior to the announcement last Friday. We moved to 10-1 when the announcement came out. And even then I was thinking to myself, well, maybe that's a little bit of an overreaction, but the public around here is certainly going to overreact as well. So let's just see what happens. And, you know, sure enough, you know, there was a rush to get bet Sixers futures last Friday. And by end of the day, we were, I think, at 9-1. And then by Saturday evening, we were at 8-1. And that's currently where we sit, still at 8-1. And Sixers futures still just haven't died down. I mean, people are still enamored with this. You know, if there was videos that I saw of people you know, on the decks here of the Shore Town screaming after the announcement came out about LeBron. So there's a lot of excitement around these parts for that. And I think, you know, what will happen here on the court remains to be seen. Obviously, just the health of Embiid still hangs over this team, as it always does. I'm not sure what that over-under number will be of how many regular season games we'll see Embiid and LeBron play together. But the key is obviously going to be keeping the health intact there for the postseason run. So you did see a bump up in their season win total. Regular season win total did jump a few games there with the signing. But this is a team that's really focus on the postseason, not so much on the regular season, especially with the age of some of them. You know, having Brown and Maxey and Edgecombe, obviously, on the younger side of things, but LeBron with his age and Embiid with his health issues, as we've seen through the past, you got to keep those guys healthy through the regular season and have them 100% going into the playoffs.
One of those cheers you heard, Thomas, was me in Northeast Ohio, just yelling from the rooftop. So excited LeBron was not coming back to Cleveland. We are so happy here for that to not happen. I don't know if we're clamoring for Deshaun Watson, though, in Northeast Ohio. Early returns here the first couple of days from the soap opera that is known as Berea, Ohio, where the Browns have training camp, has left a lot to be desired. Handicap the AFC North in your eyes. Dave and I talked to Browns earlier this week. I think they'll be better offensively. Remains to be seen what that continuity looks like defensively. But the AFC North, in your eyes, how does it stack up for you?
You know, it's an interesting division that you have a team that has been the odds-on favorite to win the division, you know, since we opened the market in the Baltimore Ravens. But they've attracted the least amount of wagers and are now at minus 115 to win the division. We opened them minus 140. And yes, Jensen, even your Browns, we have more tickets written on them and more money wagered on them to win the AFC North than the Ravens do. So it's a little bizarre. And when you look at the Ravens, obviously have one of the most talented quarterbacks in all football, Lamar Jackson, new head coach there in Jesse Minter. It will certainly be a change from seeing Harbaugh on the sidelines. They should have an improved offensive line, I think, to help Derrick Henry, but probably one of the biggest factors in this team's odds for the division and their lofty win total of 11.5. They have a pretty doable schedule. You know, it may not be until November when they finally find themselves as an underdog going into a game. So, you know, add in a new offensive coordinator who is almost the same age as Lamar. I think we could really see a nice bounce back year here for Lamar and putting up some big numbers again. Now, the team that's attracting a lot of attention in the futures markets for us is the Bengals. We opened them +260 to win the division. They're now down to +185. Zach Taylor is still the head coach, and I'm sure he is praying every day for the health of Joe Burrow, who we all know will be the deciding factor in how this Bengals season turns out. I mean, well, at this point, Taylor's got to be praying for the health of the entire team and what we saw as training camp is already open. So their win total has been bet up from 9.5 to 10.5. I think the offense relatively would be the same. Aside from Burrow's health, the offense hasn't really been the issue for the Bengals. It's been a very porous defense, and Al Golden was brought in a year ago to fix that. I can't say he made much progress last year. Getting Dexter Lawrence is what grabbed the headlines, but we'll see what Golden can do here in year two. You know, so far the betting market is behind them, so we'll see if health and some success can follow that. But you know, Ravens and Bengals, they'll certainly be battling for division. You know, the Steelers, they now have a Dave Ross guy as head coach and a big Mike McCarthy and 82-year-old quarterback Aaron Rodgers playing in his final season. So I think, you know, the Steelers, they have some very good skill position players. I'm just not sure Rodgers still has it in him to, you know, consistently throw the ball downfield, not fall into the dink and dunk stuff we have seen from him in recent years. I understand them feeling like they peaked under Tomlin by, you know, consistently won, but just not going anywhere in the playoffs. And I think McCarthy may end up being a very good hire when all is said and done. I just don't expect much in Rodgers' last season here. We've taken a lot of money on the under of their season win total of 8.5. And then that leaves the Cleveland Browns here. So no more Myles Garrett, no more Kevin Stefanski, but hey, Deshaun Watson's still there, so Shedeur Sanders. I don't know what Todd Monken's going to get out of that quarterback position. I have no idea. Season win total has dropped from 6.5 where we opened it, now down to 5.5. That gives you an idea of how they were being bet in that market. I think the defense in Cleveland should still be relatively good, even without Garrett, but new defensive coordinator in a first-time coordinator role, there may be some growing pains there. Jensen, how is the clamor there in Cleveland over this quarterback battle? And I can't imagine things are looking too rosy in Browns' land there.
TG, I've made the analogy. My better half, Michelle, has watched General Hospital for a long time. There is probably a close second as far as greatest soap operas of our time. The quarterback battle every year in Cleveland, Ohio. It is the most scrutinized, most ridiculous thing, and it gets blown so much. If you think that political parties, you know, are so invested in their candidate, you've never seen a fan base so invested in how a quarterback walks off the field, how they do 7-on-7, no defense. I mean, it is ridiculousness. Dave, you know, we've talked about it. I cannot watch. Name a starting quarterback, then I'll start paying attention.
Oh, again, I haven't watched General Hospital, I think, since Luke and Laura, and I think that's the last time the Browns had a good starting quarterback. I mean, it's been a minute here with the GH comparison. Very quickly, TG, because, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned you went to, with the coaches. You don't see this very often. Three new head coaches in this division alone. Zach Taylor is the elder statesman there. Very quickly, will you guys be putting up a market like an exotic first coach to get fired? Because I think if Zach Taylor and the Bengals get off to a rough start, TG, he might be one of those top candidates.
I think Taylor absolutely is a top candidate for that. I mean, the man, he has survived up through this point, which has kind of been surprising. But yeah, I mean, if they get off to another bad start here this year, and you know, again, health has a lot to do with that. And I think he's kind of gotten the benefit of the doubt from ownership because of that, that maybe health has been the cause. But they get off to a rough start again this year. I think Taylor could be the first to be shown the door.
Remember, they had my guy, I love Marvin Lewis from his time in D.C., and he never won a playoff game, and they kept him for almost a decade and a half. So you can keep your job there in Cincinnati. It seems like longer than most. TG, great stuff, man. Enjoy that San Diego weather in Atlantic City as long as you can get it. We're going to hear from Baker Mayfield. Is he really that upset with Bucs management? We'll discuss next right here at VSiN by the Book.